You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Last week, Health Minister Simeon Brown announced the government's infrastructure plan for rebuilding hospitals in Aotearoa. The plan involved a $20 billion investment into hospitals across the Motu, which Simeon Brown has said will upgrade emergency departments and improve delivery timeframes. In that same week, the government's recent defense capability plan, which involved a $12 billion increase in funding to the New Zealand Defense Force, downgraded climate change as a priority for the NZDF. And earlier this week, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon announced that New Zealand would be extending its military assistance to Ukraine until 2026. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, I spoke to Greens MP Ricardo Menendez March for the party's take on all of these issues.
What's your opinion on the government's new health infrastructure plan?
There is truth that our health infrastructure is due for an upgrade, but make no mistake that this is coming off the back of a lot of cuts that actually help deliver quality services. And it's at the expense of many of our health workers who have not received adequate pay and conditions, which means that even if they're working in hospitals that are really modern and new, we'll still be having an overworked and underpaid workforce working in that upgraded health infrastructure.
And as you just said, given the cuts that we've seen in the health sector, do you think that this plan is a surprising change of course for the government?
It's not, because in many ways it neglects some of the most important and fundamental parts of our health system, which is ensuring that our workers have decent conditions and pay, and that we address the inadequate funding in the primary care system. And that's because people are continuing to show up to hospital with preventable illnesses that could have been addressed within primary care. And this is why we're almost funding the bottom of the cliff before addressing stuff upstream. There is enough resources in Aotearoa to do both.
A significant portion of this investment will go into upgrading car parking facilities at hospitals, with Manukau Health Park reportedly needing an investment of at least $100 million for a 1,200-slot building. What's your opinion on this?
I think this just shows that we don't have a government that is thinking holistically and in the long term. For example, if we had adequate public transport in Auckland, the need for humongous car parks wouldn't be such an issue. At the end of the day, that's not the kind of infrastructure that actually saves lives, and it just becomes yet another project by the government that won't address things like traffic, nor address health outcomes properly.
So what infrastructure do you think needs greater investment and a higher level of priority in the health system?
So no doubt our hospitals do deserve an upgrade, and the Dunedin Hospital is a great example of the government already compromising and not adequately resourcing it so that it can meet the needs of the South Island population that it serves. And so while we do welcome greater investment into the actual hospitals, the government needs to look at things like tax reform so that we can adequately resource the health system so that no one is avoiding the doctor, for example, because of cost.
And do you think that the $20 billion included in the investment plan is enough to cover the infrastructure needs of New Zealand's hospitals?
Well, in many ways, it isn't, because we've already seen, as I've just outlined with the Dunedin Hospital, the fact that the government is already compromising and downgrading the initial plans that would have better adequately served the Otago region population that it's supposed to serve. And so in many ways, while, you know, for anyone, $20 billion will be seen as a lot. The way that it is invested and the things that are being cut will not result in a much, much better health system.
All right, moving on to the next topic. The government's recent defense capability plan, which involved a $12 billion increase in funding to the New Zealand Defense Force, has downgraded the role of climate change as a threat to the Pacific, compared to the 2019 Defense Capability Plan, which identified climate change as a key driver of security events affecting New Zealand and the Pacific, and dedicating a chapter to outlining how it would stretch the defense force, the new defense plan only mentions climate change twice in a single paragraph. So firstly, I'd like to ask what your reaction is to the downgrading of climate change as a threat in the Defense Capability Plan.
It's really short-sighted because climate change continues to be a massive threat to our planet and to our communities. The reality is that many of the conflicts that we see throughout the world are wars in relationship to resources. Climate change will supercharge those issues by bringing up things like water scarcity and the need for rare minerals, for example. And so the fact that our defense force is basically omitting one of the biggest challenges our generation faces just feels like it's not in touch with actually some of those realities that we're experiencing and the driving forces behind a violent and armed conflict.
Do you think that the New Zealand Defence Force might reduce their commitments to combating climate change and its impacts under this new plan?
I mean, it will likely do that. And more importantly, I mean, our Defence Force could have a role in supporting communities already impacted by climate change. And particularly in the Pacific, we know that climate change risks displacing whole communities a lot sooner than in the rest of the world. And this is why we can't just ignore the real defense and geopolitical implications that climate change will be having, not just in our region, but across the globe.
So far, Defense Minister Judith Collins has refused to answer questions about how climate change will be addressed in the defense policy and why it was downgraded as a priority. Is this worrying to you?
It's well in line with a government that is a climate denialist. I mean, it's a government that is supercharging climate emissions by building more coal mines, not adequately investing in renewables, not investing in things like public transport. And so I think it's very much on brand for Judith Collins to then hide and not answer straight questions in relationship to the role of climate change when it comes to the defence force.
The first chapter of the Defence Capability Plan says that New Zealand is facing the most challenging and dangerous strategic environment it's seen in decades. Do you think that there are threats in the region that are more severe than climate change?
Well, we shouldn't just be saying that, for example, the geopolitical tensions between China and the US are not related to issues around climate change. I mean, these are the two economies that are driving climate issues the most. And so it's all connected. And this is why it is concerning to see an emission on the realities that climate change will create more geopolitical tensions in the region by the fact that it will displace communities, drive resource scarcity, and many other issues that end up driving violent conflict.
All right, and moving on to the last topic. Earlier today, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon announced that New Zealand would be extending its military assistance to Ukraine until 2026. This includes the deployment of 100 New Zealand Defence Force personnel to train Ukrainian soldiers, as well as providing intelligence and other forms of support. So I'd like to ask what your reaction is to this announcement.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to always be careful to not just put in place war capabilities before peacekeeping. The truth is that right now we are moving into a stage where our defense force will be playing much more of a warmongering role than just a peacekeeping role, and that is concerning. That is where the government seems to be taking our defense force as well. And this just shows, again, that we need to be taking a much more independent approach to foreign policy, which is still in line with being able to recognize Ukraine's sovereignty and take a very active role in pushing back against the war crimes by Russia. But that is quite different from fueling a war that has costed thousands and thousands of lives at this point, and that major global powers seem unable to end and to broker a peace deal.
Christopher Luxon recently spoke with UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer, who invited him to take part in a coalition that would provide a peacekeeping force to monitor a ceasefire between Ukraine and Russia. Do you think that the New Zealand Defence Force should be getting involved in this coalition?
Provided that it is genuinely about peacekeeping and supporting Ukraine's sovereignty, absolutely. What is concerning is to see political powers caving into the US, for example, wanting to extract minerals as a way to secure peace in Ukraine. That is actually not in line with protecting and supporting Ukraine's economic sovereignty by nature of then using that assistance to then justify exploitative resource extraction from Ukraine. And so we do have a role to play in peacekeeping, but that should be to ensure that Ukraine can retain its sovereignty, and that includes economic sovereignty.
Lastly, should New Zealand have any involvement in the Ukrainian-Russian war?
We have a role to play when it comes to fomenting peace. So when it comes to peacekeeping, we absolutely could have a role in there. But all of that has to be underpinned by protecting Ukraine's sovereignty, not by, for example, taking sides with the US, as this government has done more and more so, and in a geopolitical approach that, for example, will see Ukraine having to cede a lot of its economic sovereignty and give it to the US as part of brokering a peace deal with Russia.
And that was Green Party MP Ricardo Menendez-March talking to us about Simeon Brown's new health infrastructure plan, the downgrading of climate change in the new defense capability plan, and the extension of military assistance to Ukraine until 2026.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.